T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
On the Dialpad guest line, Dialpad helps you make smarter calls, connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video, messages, and meetings across your existing devices. Mike, I'll just start where we started. Do you have any problem with the play call of Andy Reid, the quarterback sneak in the second quarter, the play that Patrick Mahomes ended up dislocating his kneecap on?
Well, I mean, I went to a Rams 49er game where Jimmy Garoppolo threw an interception at the 1 yard line. The Rams got stopped twice, you know, on third and fourth and goal from the one, and people in the press box were like, "Sneak it! What are you doing? Sneak it! Tom Brady sneaks it! It's the best play!" So it's hard now for me to turn around and go completely the other way. I mean, you know, it's always risk reward in football. It definitely sucks that Patrick Mahomes is ever hurt in any way, and you want to protect him. But, you know, Tom Brady's had one serious injury. It happened on a play where he was in the pocket on a hit that is now a penalty because of it by Bernard Pollard. But he's probably snuck the ball more than anybody, and he's been fine. Ben Roethlisberger, who is a big, sturdy guy who takes massive, massive hits, and often plays through injuries until this year, he never sneaks. So it's, you know, it's just one of those weird things. But, you know, if the sneak is determined to be over time a high risk play, then yeah, the yard's not that important. I just think, you know, I'm not positive that happened just because he was sneaking the ball.
Yeah, I guess that's what I wonder, Mike. Do you think teams have data on maybe what is the most, quote-unquote, dangerous play for a quarterback to run? Because, you know, we were trying to think of guys who've been hurt on quarterback sneaks, and maybe we just couldn't think of anybody, but we couldn't think of anybody.
Yeah, I think the highest risk play is when you're back in the pocket and don't know the guy's about to clock you, and then maybe the next one is just running free and trying to gain as many yards as possible, you know, Steve Young style, but without being as, you know, unbelievably athletic as Steve Young. So that's why, you know, the Lamar Jacksons and the Josh Allens of the world need to start sliding more. But, you know, it's not a perfect science, and sometimes guys get hurt in flukish ways. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater suffered a catastrophic knee injury on a non-contact play in practice. So, you know, it is football. It sucks. But, you know, to have someone as important to the game right now as Patrick Mahomes at such a young age seemingly suffer a serious injury, and we'll see what it turns out to be. But, you know, that's a halting experience.
Mike, we're in week 7. The Niners go to the nation's capital. I have a lot of Niner friends mad at me because I'm just saying I ain't fat mouthing. I just feel like they're going to win this game by 30 or 40 points. I ask you this, how good are the 2019 San Francisco 49ers? And if you don't know yet, what questions do you have remaining that they need to answer?
Well, they're not nearly as good as they think they can be, which is the good news. Defensively, they are fantastic, and you're seeing that weekly. You know, offensively, they have a ways to go, and part of it is just, you know, when they have both tackles and their fullback back, that run game should be much, much better, and the pass protection should be better. I think Jimmy is growing every game. That's the idea. You know, he's had, what now, 16 starts. They consider him a very young quarterback in terms of experience, and certainly in that very, very demanding system and what Kyle Shanahan wants, he's very new. So that should get better, and I think, you know, you'll see them get better as they hopefully get healthier. And then, you know, they've had a lot of guys that they thought could be big contributors who are not out there. You know, we won't see Jerick McKinnon probably ever. Trent Taylor, who they were talking about. You know, I was even hearing Pro Bowl mentions. He, you know, maybe could come back from that foot injury. That would be a huge boost. You know, they lost, you know, the one rookie receiver, Jalen. So it's you know, I think it can get better, and specifically just healthier on offense, and hopefully Jimmy grows.
With all that said, Mike, about the receiver position, do you think the Niners need to go out and try to add another piece on the outside to help out George Kittle, Jimmy Garoppolo in a passing game?
You know, I don't know. I think, you know, they've been pretty disciplined about how they're building it, and they took their lumps for 2 years, and now they're good, and I don't think it's a desperation. We have to be great this year now, and this is the only year that matters, though certainly they want to do as well as they can. So, I, you know, in my opinion, unless they think it's value, probably not something dramatic. You know, the Rams obviously have a different philosophy.
Mike Silver, NFL.com, NFL Network, joining us on 95.7 The Game. Mike, Kyle Shanahan, I thought, was a little out of character 2 days ago when he was asked about his time in Washington, and he basically said, you know, it was great being with my dad, but I did not, nothing else was good about it.
Yeah, no, you're messing up the delivery. So well, he asked him what he liked, and he said, oh, getting to be with my dad and some great coaches. And they said, what was the bad? And he said, everything else.
Here you go, Mike.
Hold on.
That's
Kyle, though. That's him. That's the guy. So I'm glad he showed it. It was cool.
Well, I'll quick play it, and then I do want to ask you a question after it.
Being able to work with my dad and be around some other good coaches.
What was the worst part?
Everything else. I liked a lot of the players. Some good
Mike,
people.
Mike, why? What? Can you shed some light on what happened in Washington? Or
yeah, how much time do we have?
I
mean, it was.
I mean, I know it had to do RG3, but there's probably so much more.
There's a lot, but you know, Mike Shanahan came back, and they struggled to find an answer at the quarterback position, and they tried Donovan McNabb. That did not work well. They tried John Beck, and they were talking to Peyton Manning and had a meeting with Mike and Kyle and Peyton that they thought was super promising. And as that was kind of going down, Daniel Snyder said, we're trading the farm for the number 2 overall pick, which was RG3, and they also drafted Kirk Cousins, which was really a Kyle-influenced pick. And RG3, they saw some real limitations, and they did something unbelievably, you know, extreme, but also incredibly successful. And they just decided, Kyle basically decided, we're going to run our entire offense out of the pistol. And, you know, people weren't ready for it, and he was rookie of the year, and they had an incredible season. Obviously, the knee injury set him back. And, you know, that was I think history is going to show when we look back, not only the coaches who were on that staff, but what they were doing in terms of the creativity. And that really extended into the next year. And, you know, and when Cousins played too. They were doing some pretty cutting edge things, and you know, they had some tough circumstances, a ridiculous salary cap penalty in the wake of the lockout that I could spend a lot of time talking about. And you know, it's not a great organization, you know, on the upper tier side sometimes, and it was, you know, it was a lot. And Kyle really was at a crossroads in his career because you know, he had been out on his own, and now, you know, he was kind of being stigmatized as a guy who couldn't get along with people, Donovan McNabb, RG3. And then when he went to Cleveland and had Johnny Manziel, he was just petrified that he was going to get somehow pegged as a, you know, a guy who's suiting with Johnny Manziel, who was difficult in a lot of ways, and that was going to be a stigma he couldn't escape from. So, you know, it's a long, long journey that he's been on, and that includes Atlanta, but they believe, you know, that they organizationally weren't, I don't know if appreciated is the right word, or given the best hand they could. And, you know, Mike Shanahan won a lot of games in the league, and it was a pretty bad ending. And, you know, Kyle's a loyal son.
Mike, speaking of Kyle, we saw him take his Niner team up to L.A., beat the Rams. Rams got off to a good start, but they've since made a trade for Jalen Ramsey. So I ask you this, what ails the Los Angeles Rams, and how much can Jalen Ramsey help them get out of the funk that they're in?
Well, I'm heartened to know that his back is feeling better, so that's the first thing.
Yeah, we saw that.
It's an interesting move, because if you just look at, you know, what's the problem right now with the Rams or what they're struggling with, it's the offensive line, it's the interior, but really the whole offensive line. And, you know, they lost a guard, so they were down to, you know, even further on the depth chart. So to say, okay, well, they're going to just do something dramatic, trade 2 1s and a 4 for a corner, you'd be like, whoa. And, you know, and they lost a pretty good one in Marcus Peters, you know, if you look at the totality of the whole day. But, you know, I like the aggressiveness. I like the fact that they are not just, you know, sitting back and saying, you know, we're good enough. They should be better with a better player. I have a lot of faith in Sean McVay and the players there to kind of fight through and pull themselves out of it. It's obviously a really tough division too with Seattle and the Niners. But, I like the aggressiveness. They've been aggressive the whole time. It's kind of the opposite of how the Niners are building it. But look, it's LA. They're about to move into a palace and make a ton of cash for years and years and years. There's a salary cap, but there are ways to creatively finesse that. And, I know teams believe draft picks are always transcendental, but, you know, or transcendent, but it's, you know, I think their attitude was, I don't see us drafting anyone with either of those number one picks that's as good as Jalen Ramsey. He's a top five pick in any draft. So for better or worse, that's what they're doing.
Mike Silver here on 95.7 The Game. Mike, do you think anything else on the trade market is percolating, and will we see anything done before the deadline? Also, the Raiders, do they have a shot now with Mahomes out for a few weeks to really contend in the AFC West?
Yeah, God, going into the season, we weren't talking up the NFC West as much as the AFC West, and it's really struggling. You know, Mahomes being out is obviously a game changer. The Chargers have been just, you know, very, very far from what they were last year, and a lot of that is injury explained, but it's a bummer for them. And the Broncos, you know, their offense right now doesn't seem capable of contending with in most games. So yeah, the Raiders, you know, they've had a couple of impressive wins. Obviously they got a tough one in Green Bay Sunday, but hopefully the Raiders can hang in and make it interesting. And if Mahomes is out, then it's theoretically there for the taking. Doesn't mean it'll be easy, but go get it. But as far as trades, I think there will be other trades. I just think we have a new generation of GMs who are more aggressive and less reticent to part with draft picks, and are more cognizant that they could get fired more quickly if they don't win quickly. And so I think that's been going for a while. And yeah, I'd like to see the NFL trade deadline moved back. And they did it once. I think I'd like to see it move further back. I the original concept was, well, we just don't want teams tanking and fire sale, right, like baseball. But okay, A, there's a team tanking anyway. So that's not working. B, football, it changes so dramatically in terms of playoff turnover. You know, we have an over 50% playoff turnover now on average for 30 years. So it's not like the other sports. You know, you can go from worst to first pretty quickly and vice versa. So, I just don't think you're going to see, a lot of teams trying to do what the Dolphins are clearly doing now or what the Browns did a couple of years ago. I think most teams are going to, you might trade a guy late in the season when you're eliminated because you're not going to pay him anyway the next year, but I don't think teams are just going to wholesale dump guys.
Mike, thank you so much as always. Where are you going to be this weekend?
I'm going to Seattle. I want to go see Marcus Peters' debut with the Ravens.
Ooh, interesting.
Earl Thomas's return. Okay. Wilson and Lamar. So, I'm pretty pumped. It should be a great one.
All right. Well, we look forward to catching up with you next week, buddy. Take care.
Thanks, guys.
Mike Silver, NFL.com, NFL Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.